Hey, before we get started, I have a favor to ask you. If you could go to iTunes and leave us a review and a rating, that would mean so much to us and help our show get out there and have new listeners. This week on Big Fat Positive, we've got our weekly check-ins. We also have a new segment where we check our email inbox and see what questions and comments have come in from listeners like you. And then we end with our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hey everyone, welcome to the show.
Hello.
This is episode 19, and Shauna, do you want to do your weekly check-in for us? What's going on with you this week?
All right, so I am week 30.
Oh my god, that's...
It's so close to 40.
I know.
Which is crazy, I'm not even going to 40. I'm going to 39.
That's so right.
I'm jealous. I don't know if people... I think I've mentioned it before, but I have a scheduled C-section because... I had one previously, so yeah, I go a week early, so I'm getting real close.
I'm kind of jealous that you have a 1 week shorter pregnancy than, well, I mean, who knows? You never know what'll happen, but.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it is kind of nice. Anyway, so a couple things to report. First of all, I am getting closer, and I don't feel ready. Like, just... My house feels just like in disarray. I feel like I have no time. Even on the weekends, I'm so busy. The nursery is not anywhere close to being done. It's just full of like storage and old stuff right now. And my bedroom, we were trying to like just redecorate and get nice so that once the baby comes, I have a nice place to retreat and, you know, be with the baby and have her sleep in the whatchamacallit. What do you call it? The thing you
bassinet?
Put next to your bed. Bassinet, yeah. And that's just, it's got like paint drop cloths and ladders and paintbrushes and baseboards that are like half falling off. It's, my house is just a mess and I just don't know if this is enough time to get it all done, Laura.
I feel ya, but I also feel like I need to remind you that you don't need to get it all done.
I know. Everyone says that, and I have a real strong resistance to that because, well, A, you know I'm a perfectionist, and so I'm very, very, very uncomfortable with disarray. It really makes me uncomfortable, and I just want to have that all settled so I can feel a sense of calm in my home when the baby comes instead of, like, those are the things that are, like, grating at me, like, bothering me.
Oh, of course, and it's not like you'll really have any additional time to get stuff done when you have the baby. So
I know,
I understand, right? The urgency.
Oh my gosh. And like, I just have so many old clothes, like hand-me-downs from my daughter to go through and all the old baby supplies. And my to-do list is very long. And
you've
been
busy too. I feel like that's part of the problem.
Oh, yeah. I'm so busy. There's zero time during the week because I'm working, and the weekends, there's always like some party, birthday party or something, which is awesome and fun, but just takes time to, you know, do all that stuff. And so, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel you. I don't really have a solution for you other than, you know, to sympathize. Because I feel similarly. I, as you know, and I think I've mentioned this before, we live in a two-bedroom house, and the second bedroom is my office. I work from home. I work full-time from home. So I eventually have to just bite the bullet and turn my office into the nursery. But when I do that, I'm just really cutting my ability to get work done way down because I have this, I have this whole setup. I have these two gigantic monitors that I hook my computer up to and, you know, my external keyboard and mouse. And I need all that screen real estate to really do my job properly. I'm a web developer. And I know that because when I have to leave the house and just use my desk, my laptop for a day or two, I can't get as much done. It just doesn't work. So I have to figure something out because I right now can't really do anything. And also we have a storage problem. So that's a whole other issue. So yeah.
And it's a very real deadline. I mean,
yes,
this isn't a deadline that can really be pushed. I mean, yes, like life will go on if our homes aren't in like perfect order and whatever, things could happen. But, you know, it would be nice to meet that deadline. It'd
really be nice
would.
To be set up for success, right? You know, start at a base level of organization because, you know, it's going to go downhill from there. So,
yeah, anyway. Exactly. Anyway, well, and the other thing I was going to report on this week is that, well, one reason I had no time this weekend is I went to mom camp up
mom
in the mountains.
Camp. Tell me more.
I'm in this Facebook moms group, which is great. And they organize like a big mom retreat for the weekend up in the mountains. And I think there were like maybe 250 of us that went
up there.
And, yeah, took over like a summer camp, like where you would go as like a tween to do archery and stuff. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, did you do archery?
I did not. My friend Jen did. I didn't do any of like the physical things because I was 7 months pregnant.
Yeah.
I couldn't like go zip lining or do any of that fun stuff really. But I had a cabin and a bunk bed.
Oh my gosh.
And we like had a bonfire and made s'mores and just like a bunch of moms who left all their kids at home to go party all weekend. It was fun. It was
funny. God. I bet everyone was like losing their minds.
I think so.
Enjoyment, I should clarify.
Yes, with enjoyment, yeah. I think it was nice for everyone to kind of have like their own time. So I got to be up in the mountains in the woods and it was so beautiful up there. And
well, that's a really fun idea.
Yeah.
This is your cool. Your super exclusive Facebook group that I want to be jumped into once they reopen membership, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. Maybe next year you can come to the mom camp with me.
That would be fun.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Leave the kids with the dads and roast some s'mores.
Let's do it.
And then next year you could probably have beers, I imagine. Or wine.
My gosh. Yes. I think. I'm going to say, I think that might make mom camp even more fun.
Well, yeah. I mean.
Because I was sober the whole weekend and not everyone else was. And I was a little bit jealous.
Yes. I I feel that.
Anyway, well, that sounds like fun. That's me. What about you? What week are you?
Well, I'm at week 26, which, you know, it's just kind of a week. Like, there's literally nothing really special that goes on, I think, in week 26. I feel like even our pregnancy apps are really reaching to come up with special milestones for these sort of late second trimester weeks. It's just like, well, they're still growing.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I can tell. So, you know, I'm just kind of moving along with this pregnancy, which is great. It's nice to not really have anything too big. So I have two things to report for my 26th week. The first is that I have made my first pregnancy friend.
Oh, and how did you make this friend?
In the most Los Angeles way possible, which is through prenatal yoga class.
Aw, that's so cute.
Yeah, I know. So I've been going to this prenatal yoga class around the corner from my house for, gosh, now probably about 10 weeks, I think. And on the Monday classes, this one teacher has us go around and introduce ourselves and say where we are in pregnancy and ask any questions of the other moms if we want. So it's kind of nice. It takes up a good chunk of class, but it is nice to sort of hear from other people. And you can also kind of like gawk at what other people's bodies are doing at like certain weeks in pregnancy, which is a fun pastime for me. There was one time a woman came in, and I think it was like when I was like 20 weeks pregnant, I was definitely showing. And she said she was 22 weeks pregnant and she looked like she had no stomach at all. Like I just remember being like, what?
Oh my God. It's crazy how different people's bodies react to pregnancy.
I know. And it's like not in a judgy way. It's just in like, I am so fascinated how this works functionally because like, I immediately just had this thing protruding straight out from my stomach. And I'm like, you're 22 weeks and, like, you have a flat stomach? Wow.
Like, wow.
So, anyway, there's a woman who's been coming regularly. And she, I don't know, you know how you can just tell people seem cool? She seemed cool. And she lives in the area. And she's having a boy. And she's just 2 weeks ahead of me. So,
fun.
Yeah. And so we were just chatting. We would chat after class. And then finally, I was just like, we should just grab coffee or something, right? Like, I was just decided to be proactive about it. So we went and we had our coffee and we had a great time. I had a great time. She kind of felt like a first date in a weird way. But, you know, she was super sweet. She's a therapist, she's a psychologist. And we kind of had like a very deep conversation. Then I texted her later to be like, I'm sorry, I wasn't you trying to use you as my therapist. And she's like, no, I loved it. It's great. So We're going to try to find another time to get together. But of course, you know, it's always hard to schedule that sort of thing. But
yeah. Well, that'll be fun, too, once you guys have your babies, because then you could do, like, little play dates and
that's the idea. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So and I will say finding mom friends once you have the baby is, like, a less awkward. I've definitely, like, just been very direct with moms I thought were cool. I'm like, we should get together. But you have the kid there. So it's kind of like mm-hmm. that excuse and that little buffer for, like, the awkwardness.
Sure.
Of, yeah, just two pregnant ladies having a latte.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm happy about that. And then the other thing this week is, you know, I had discussed, gosh, probably in one of our first episodes about how I had developed an aversion towards spinning wool during my first trimester.
Yeah.
I do fiber arts. and I love spinning wool and I have the spinning wheel. And during my first trimester, I was rushing to finish a project and right as nausea kicked in. So I got like this really weird aversion to like even looking at pictures of hand spun wool. And so that was a real bummer, but I'd gotten out of it, talked about that in a previous episode as well. And I was excited because there's this yearly competition that the National Needlework Association or TNNA, the National Needlework Association, puts on called Spinzilla, where it's a week where you join a team and you try to spin as many yards as possible. And it costs $15 to sign up. All the prize money goes to charity and they give you, you know, they give out prizes for teams who have the most or whatever. Uh-huh. It's just a kind of fun thing. It's a fun challenge to, you know, get yourself to sort of spin more. And I had a lot of fiber lying around because I hadn't been able to spin for so long. So I was like, oh, okay, great. I'll sign up for Spinzilla now that it's not making me sick. And I will just spin like crazy for a week and it'll be super fun. And I'll get a lot done and I'll clear out my stash. And it'll be great. And then I spun a bunch one day and realized I think it was aggravating my, get ready to laugh, pubic symphysis pain. And
yeah.
Aww. Yeah, so I don't know. I the next day, my pubic symphysis pain was like way worse, and I thought it probably had to do with the spinning.
Do you use your legs when you spin?
Oh, yeah.
I honestly have no clue what this entails.
Yes. So what you do is you use your feet to treadle. It's they're like little pedals, so you just sort of like gently pedal. And I have a double treadle wheel, so both my feet are going. So you're facing it directly. You're not at a weird angle or anything. So I thought that it would be ergonomic because I'm facing it directly, and it's just sort of like it's just like pointing and flexing your feet really gently. But I guess if you do it for hours and hours and hours, it fucks with your pubic symphysis. So I
shucks.
Yeah. So then I stopped, and I thought, I'll do more, you know, I'll do it, I'll get up and stretch more. But anyway, I feel like I kind of failed my team. I got like 1.5 skeins done, I think. I got like one big skein and one smaller skein. And I don't know, I didn't really feel like I pulled my weight. And
I just don't know how spinning for hours and hours and hours could be a letdown to your team. That sounds
oh my god, amazing. People spin insane amounts of yarn during this time. It's like, I mean, it's, let me, here, I'm going to be typing because I'm going to find out what the results were. Spinzilla results 2018. So I pulled up the Spinzilla results from 2018. The entire group together spun 2,605,156 yards of yarn.
Was that like to the moon and back?
That's a good question. I'll have to do the math. I'll post the math in our show notes so that I don't have to do a lot of calculations on air. But the team, let's see, the person who spun the most yards in 1 week spun 35,717 yards.
Dang, that's a lot of scarves.
It's a lot of wool. Mm-hmm. I, in contrast, spun a little over, I think a little over 1,500 yards, which sounds like a lot, but I really wanted to get to the mile club, which is what? Let's see. 1 mile in yards is 1,760, and I didn't quite hit it. So I think I got about like 1,500 yards, and I didn't get my mile-long club. But and my team as a whole, I was spinning for Team Paradise fibers did 66,905. So I totally did not pull my weight for my team. I think there were maybe 20 people on the team. So yeah, I think there was less than 20. So,
well, I feel like you had a good excuse.
Yeah, pregnancy is probably the best excuse ever. I'm learning that. But I always feel lame using it. Do you feel lame using pregnancy as an excuse?
Oh, yeah, especially when we have friends who are, like, posting pictures of themselves hiking and running marathons and stuff like that.
I know which
that.
Friends
like,
you're talking about. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, I get more winded eating them. A salad.
Yeah. I had a piece of cake for lunch, so I'm killing it. Anyway, the point is, week 26, made a friend, didn't spin a lot of wool. Guess it was just fine.
All righty. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We have a new segment today called Checking the Inbox.
Checking our inbox.
We get some listener questions and comments, and we wanted to respond to some of those. So, Laura, I heard you received a question. We received a question recently from a listener. Do you want to read that for us?
Yes. Our listener, Heather, actually has a question for you.
Oh.
Yeah, Shauna, actually, we have a question specifically for you from our listener, Heather. Heather is writing about, in response to our discussions on vomiting and nausea in the first trimester, I think we talked about it in multiple episodes, and this is what she said. She says, Shauna, I also have a vomit phobia, so I'm glad triggering vom talk is kept at a minimum. But also, it's like a very top fear for having a child. They puke all the time and can't deal with it themselves. Were you able to get over it? ?
Oh, Heather, I feel you. First of all, I want to say that I'm glad I'm not alone in my vomit phobia. It is a real thing. I know vomit's gross, and whenever I tell people I have a vomit phobia, it's like, yeah. Well, I think it's gross, too. It's like, okay, I get it. I have passed out when I was thinking that someone was throwing up in my vicinity on an airplane. Wow. I have gotten up out of a restaurant late at night when like a drunk person like was walking by. I could tell they were on their way to the bathroom throwing up. I like broke out into cold sweats, got up from the table and left my group just wondering what the heck happened to me. And I went outside and like practically hyperventilated. So like I have a very physical response to barf.
And it's not just what like for me, I don't have the phobia. I think vomit's gross, but like for me, my physical response is like, ugh, like I feel like I'm going to puke too. But that's a different thing we're dealing with, right? You have a phobia.
I think no one has like ever diagnosed me, but it's all I can imagine because for as long as I can remember, even like in first grade, I remember like this girl threw up on her desk next to me and my body physically shrunk down into my seat. Like I was sinking down into my chair because the teacher was like, who can walk Kara to the nurse? And I was just like, Jesus, don't pick me. I don't know. But there's also vomit here. I don't know what to do. And I was just like, my body just reacts. So anyways, that's what I went into motherhood with, this fear. So I feel you, Heather, and I'm so sorry that you also have that. So I will say that I have gotten better with this. Having a baby actually helped me a lot because, like, you have to face your fear. Your kid, your baby's gonna throw up. So it's like exposure therapy, which is, like, you don't ever want to expose yourself to barf, but when you're a mom, you kind of have to. You know what I mean?
But did it trigger, like, when your daughter first threw up, you know, which I'm sure was pretty soon after you had her, did it feel scary at first or was it different?
It's totally different, and here's why. When they're really small, it's not really, like, throw up. It's spit up, which is different. It's, like, just milk, and it doesn't smell gross. It's just, like, smells like milk, but it gets you used to something coming out of your like baby's mouth and stomach. It's just so gross. I can barely even like handle that I'm talking about it this much. I think I'm actually breaking a sweat. But
It's kind of nasty, you know, but it gets you used to it. And my daughter, like, had a spit up problem. Like, she was spitting up, like, I don't even know, 20 times a day. So I really had to get used to it. And so I consider it, like, the gateway drug to vomit.
Oh, that's so gross.
So by the time she had her first stomach flu, which, well, I don't know, she was like, I don't know, 1.5 or 2 or something, you know, and she's actually eating food and stuff. And that's where it's gross. Yeah. But I was a little bit more prepared for it and used to it and a little bit more comfortable with it. And plus, like, you just, your mom, my mom instincts just kick in. It's like, oh my God, my kid is scared right now. And I'm going to, like, handle this like a beast. Like, I can do this. And so I feel like I really stepped it up for her and just put my own physical fears on the back burner.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. And the kids don't throw up that much, knock on wood. My kid will probably get the stomach flu tomorrow, but they really don't throw up that much.
Here's a question. Has it translated to other adults or being, like, better with other adults throwing up, or not related?
That's a good question. I guess I don't get as grossed out at the thought of it as I used to, but
I feel like us having this conversation is huge. I remember in grad school, like, if someone even mentioned it in a writing class, you'd almost have to leave the room.
Yeah, that's true. I really, really hate talking about it. And the funny thing, I mean, I personally don't like throwing up, but I think most of my fear is around being in the presence of other people doing it. You know what I mean? So, no, I really don't like other people throwing up, but I think I have gotten a little bit better with it just because of the exposure therapy. You know what I mean? And also, when you become a mom, you have so many new fears, like, about your kid dying and shit, that, like, throwing up kind of takes a back burner.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got bigger,
I think,
fish,
there's
to fry.
Hope. Yeah, exactly. I think there's hope for you, Heather, and for other people with vomit fears, that you can handle it like a beast and be there for your tiny, innocent little baby who's just like, ah, yikes. You can do it.
Or just make your husband do it.
Yeah. 100%. That was my plan going in, 100%. And then the day you're reading to your kid and she barfs all over you and your clothes, you're like, not much hubby can do about this. I got to just do it.
Oh, man. I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, God. We just talked about vomit so much. I can't even handle it.
And
let's
you're
move
alive.
On.
You did alive. It. Let's move on.
Laura, I hear you got an email from a listener as well. What did that person share with us?
I did. I got a message from Angela, who's actually essentially my sister-in-law. It's complicated, but Angela, I consider you my sister-in-law. You're awesome. And Angela has two kids who are now, I think, both teenagers at this point. They're big kids. But in response to episode 15, where we did the segment, They Said What?, where we talked about all the weird shit people said to us, she had an anecdote to share.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah. So this is what she said. She said, when her son was an infant, they went to the shopping mall, and when she was paying for her purchases, he started whining and fussing. A stranger came up to the car seat. I'm imagining it's in a stroller at the shopping mall. The stranger came up to the car seat, and instead of grabbing his pacifier, she stuck her finger in my infant's mouth.
What the
hell? She goes on to say, yes, a strange, dirty finger. I not so politely asked her to remove her dirty finger from my child's mouth. And then she told me, quote, sorry for trying to help.
What?
The nerve of some people.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with people?
I flipped out when I heard I got this message. I was just like, I can't not deal with this. Like, that is fucking insane.
That's
that someone would do that.
So insane. That's so
gross. I'm making everyone who comes to visit get a fucking flu shot. If a stranger stuck their finger in my infant's mouth, I would probably, like, I don't know, get violent. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. People, you are just like an open book when you walk around with an infant, man. Like, people just feel like the what's the word I'm looking for? God, my pregnancy brain. They feel justified just like giving you advice and trying to help and doing some weird stuff.
I feel like touching your baby has got to be off limits. But you know what's funny? Angela also sent me a picture of a sign you can hang off of your baby's car seat or stroller that says, like, please do not touch. Your germs are too big for me. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to need that because people don't touch my baby. And she's like, oh, that's what you think.
Oh, my God.
Like, no. Wow. I'm like, I don't want a sign that's cute. I want to say, like, a sign that says, like, keep your fucking hands off my baby, you motherfucker.
It's like really sad that we would need that, you know.
I know.
That people would even go there. I think someone in my mom, one of my mom's groups was saying, like, she was in Costco one time and a woman just, like, came up and picked her kid up out of the front. Like, the kid was, like, fussing and picked her kid up out of the shopping cart.
That is so uncalled for.
Totally uncalled for.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, we really appreciate these messages. Keep them coming.
Please, yes.
Yes, we love the feedback. We love to hear your stories. And yeah, thanks for writing in.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
So So we close our show every week with our Big Fat Positives and Big Fat Negatives, our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Shauna, what do you have for us this week?
I've got a BFP.
Oh, yay.
I had a prenatal massage.
What? Oh, I'm so jealous. Tell me everything.
It was so, so good. My husband got me a gift certificate for a prenatal massage for my birthday months ago, which is when I was still in the first trimester. And I'm like, oh no, I'm saving this because I know I'm going to get more sore as I go along. Save it for the third trimester. So finally, I just booked it. Yeah. And oh, it was so great. This woman is amazing. She specializes in prenatal massage. Her name is Jenna. She does it at this place called Hands-On Mom Massage.
Oh, so Sherman it's like it's specifically yeah. A prenatal and what, mother, mom massage? That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And like she has like different wedges and pillows and stuff so that when I'm on the table, I'm actually like on my side and like bolstered by a bunch of like different wedges and pillows. And it's very comfortable, but there's like no pressure on my stomach. I don't have to lay, you know, like on face down or anything like that. And oh, it was just so great. Like my back, lower back has been hurting. And of course, my hips have been hurting. And she just spent a lot of time on those areas. And if you have a chance to do a prenatal massage, I say go for it. You will love it. And I highly recommend this lady. I'll share her information on our site.
Oh, that's awesome. Because I have thought about getting a massage, but I have worried about whether it'll actually be comfortable or not. I know that prenatal massage, that's what they're meant to be comfortable, but you know, there's only so many ways I can lie down anymore. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I felt totally supported. I mean, the only thing that was like a little bit, it wasn't even weird, but it did occur to me is like, well, usually when you're getting a massage, your face is like straight down looking at the floor.
Yeah.
So there's a real like distance between you and the therapist. Like now my face is like, you know, like it's facing out. I have my eyes closed, but I just like still feel a little bit like closer to her. But mm-hmm. I don't know. It didn't bother me that much.
When I hit my third trimester, I think I'm gonna take your advice and do that for sure.
What about you? What do you have this week?
I also have a BFP.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, which is the Huntington Gardens and Library in Pasadena.
Ooh, I love that place.
Yes. So for those who don't know, there is this beautiful botanical gardens in Pasadena, which is where I live. It's called the Huntington Gardens. I think it's actually the Huntington Library and Gardens because it's actually they have a huge collection of art and rare and antique books. And they have like all these cool exhibits you can go, you know, there's like Andy Warhol's and there's like all this classical art. And you can also go see like a Gutenberg Bible and all this really cool stuff. But the thing that I really love about it, in addition to all that cool historical stuff, is that it's set in, I think, 100 acres of a beautiful botanical gardens that has, you know, a desert garden and a subtropical garden and just a gorgeous rose garden and a Chinese garden and a Japanese garden. It's just, it's huge and it's lovely. And one of the first things I did when I moved to Pasadena a little over 2 years ago was get a yearly membership. So it's usually, if you are just dropping in, it's, I think, $25 or $29, depending on the day, as an adult to go visit. And a membership is $159 as of the time of recording. Mm-hmm. And that gets you and another adult in all the time for free.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's totally worth it. And they have like a great cafe that you can just go and eat at. And so I went this week with my friend Sarah and her little six-month-old Wendy. And we just walked around and it's just so lovely. So I highly recommend it for anyone who can go. And also just botanical gardens in general are just lovely places to bring a stroller and walk around and get your nature fix. So,
oh yeah, Descanso Gardens is really nice up in Montrose. That's a nice mm-hmm. one too. We did that with our daughter a few times.
It's just such a pleasant way to get a little bit of exercise and get outdoors. So I'm all for it, and I try to go as much as possible. So I went this week, and it was very lovely.
That sounds nice. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate your support. Be sure to subscribe and rate and review us on iTunes if you haven't yet. And we would love to hear from you. Laura, where can they reach out to us?
We are on all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group if you want to join that. We also have a website where you can find our show notes. It's bigfatpositivepodcast.com.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Shauna Maiko, Laura Bierick, and Steve Yeager.